All right, so we're continuing on in our series, Jesus the Blank, and closing out today, and this is a really good one, a very important one to remember. So who likes to move? Anybody like to move? No lying. All right, no. Moving, I'm trying to find, PC ways of saying this. It just stinks, all right? Moving, it's terrible, right? Having to pack up everything you own and move it, and then it's heavy. You know, and the worst part is that, because the person that's moving, they're usually going to a new place, and it's exciting. But then when you're asked to help move somebody, anybody with a truck? Anybody always get asked to help move somebody? I had a truck for a period of my life, and I was always asked. Since I sold that truck, I've lost some friends. I think they were only friends with me because of that truck. It's still up in the air. But it always comes because when you're a friend helping to move, you know, it's like, okay, there's nothing changing for me. I just get to go through this terrible process, and then I go back to what I always had, you know. So I have this friend. So when we moved to the Heights, we sold our home, and we in Tomball, Woodlands area, it's a lot cheaper, and you can have more space. And so we had a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home with a garage and a yard and everything. So when we were moving to the Heights to a 2-bedroom, 2-bath apartment with no garage and on the second floor, we had to condense. And so when I was Hannah and I were like talking it over, like, okay, what do we eliminate? All right, what do we get rid of? And we got rid of a lot of things, a lot of outside stuff, because, like, where are we going to put it? I don't think the apartments would like it if we put it on the lawn, you know, or our kids' jungle gym and whatnot. And so we got rid of that kind of stuff. But there is this piano, this upright piano. And if you know anything about an upright piano, it's, you know, it's real skinny and tall. They are so heavy. Oh, I cannot even begin to tell you how heavy they are. And it's deceptive. Because they're small and skinny, you would think that they're light. You think, oh, there's not much to that. No, it's like they figured out a way to compact it all. You know, a large piano into a very compact space. And if you know anything about matter, when you take matter and you put it closer together, it gets even heavier, right? And so the smaller things can be extremely heavy. So I tried. I'm like, Hannah, it's like a family heirloom. It's been around, I don't know, 100 years. Great. That's awesome. Antique. I was like, can we send it with your parents? Can they watch it for a little while until we move into another home and get out of that apartment? And she's like, no, I need that in my life. I need this piano. I need it. So I'm like, okay, fine. So now I had to find a friend that would move it for me. And so if you were here from the beginning of Village Heights, there's this, the guy that used to lead worship, his name is Nathan. Nathan is not a small dude. Nathan is a very big guy, very strong, large fella. He's bigger than me, taller than me, and it's nice to have those kind of people around you because you don't always want to be the biggest person in the room. You know, if something goes down, you want someone to lean on. And Nathan, he's like a big teddy bear, right? Just, he's so big and large and strong, but he is so sweet. And so I became friends with him, very close friends. We became friends, and then at the place I was working at the time, a desk job, I got him a job with me, and we worked together. And so we were work friends and then life friends, and so we got very well connected. So when it came time for me to ask my big friend, hey, can you help move a tiny piano? I mean, it's small. And he's like, sure, yeah, I'll help you. And he helped move us down. Oh my goodness, this thing was terrible. So getting it out of our home, different levels, and so it's really old, so the wheels are very tiny, and so it doesn't push very hard. We literally had to muscle this thing, man muscle this thing out of the door, over the humps of the threshold, which they would have been, might have been mountains, because it was such a heavy thing. And if I didn't have him and his power, it could not have been done. I could not have transported that piano over to the apartment that we live in now. Luckily, it's there. Nothing was broken, no dings. There's an elevator, so that was great. If there were stairs, just stairs, I'd be like, I'm sorry, honey. It's me or the piano. You got to pick. So luckily it didn't come to that, guys. Thank God she kept me. So because I was friends with him first, I was able to access his power because I was friends with him. Without being friends, if he was a stranger, and I was like, hey man, I don't know you. Can you help me move this piano? And be like, no, I don't think so. If somebody randomly walks up to me, if I still have my truck, say, hey, can I borrow your truck so you can help me move? No, I'm not going to do that. There's U-Hauls, there's moving companies for that. But because he was my friend, I was able to access his sheer manpower, and I thank God for it. But he's moved away, and somehow when we move out of the apartment, I'm going to have to lure him back. I don't know what, just for the day, just to get that piano out of there and into the next thing. Because Tanner, I don't know if Tanner can handle it. Can you handle it? You better start working out now, buddy. But because of my relationship with him, I was able to access his power. So there's relationships in our lives that we have with work and friendship and family that because we're friends with somebody, they might have some great influence or power, whether it's physical power, whether it's a work influence, whether it's nepotism, whatever it may be. There's access there. And because of your relationship with them, you get to access that power. And it unlocks something in your life. It makes something able to happen for you. This is a great thing, and this is something that don't abuse it, but you should definitely utilize it, because that's what people are around for. That's what we're here for, is to help one another. And this is a great thing. So, there's reasons why you get to access that special power. It's because the time you invest, the time you spend caring, loving, it's much more than just who they are and what they can do. You like them as a person, but because of that, you get to access what they have to offer. It's a really cool experience. So in continuing on the series, when we were launching the series, Hannah and I, a lot of the time when we're riding somewhere in the car, we'll have conversations about the series we're doing or something about church. It's a great meeting time because the kids are distracted or sleeping, and so we can actually talk, you know. If you don't have kids, you don't know what I'm talking about. But yes, if you have kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like they can smell productivity, and they don't like it. It's their enemy. They want to destroy it. halt it. So we're talking, and sometimes, you know, Gage is getting older. He's 5 now, and he's a smart kid. Sometimes we don't realize that he's listening to us. He's listening to our conversations. And so Hannah and I will be talking about something, and he'll randomly just speak up and offer his wisdom on the topic. And so Hannah and I were talking about, like, Jesus the blank. You know, what are these things that we can fill in? So we're like going through a series of Jesus' character that we could fill in aspects of him. And then from the back we hear, Jesus the Lord, duh. He emphasized the duh. I don't know where he's learned this duh. It must be public school. No, just kidding. No, he learned it from mom, I'm sure. Jesus the Lord, duh. And so I was like, okay, that's what I need to talk about. That's the given. That should be the given. The most important aspect of Jesus is that he was Lord. And I was like, all right, we're going to close out the series based on my adorable son's wisdom and referencing. So that was the story that she was talking about. I hope it lived up to the hype. And he's very cute. So today we're going to talk about Jesus the Lord. That identity in him, that's something we hear all the time in our songs, but do we truly understand what it means to know Jesus as Lord, to know him that way? And it sounds like a no-brainer, but it's something that we miss a lot. We miss the mark on understanding this part of his personality and who he is. You see, when it comes to understanding Jesus Lord, there is a spectrum, just spectrum of Jesus. You see, when we identify people, we can usually know their beginning and their end, you know, literally. We know when they're born, we know when they end, or if they've ended yet or getting close to it. We can know the spectrum of who they are. And through that life, we can identify their personality. And so we know the limits of their personality. If you're married or dating something for a long time, you begin to learn their limitations. You learn where they begin, you learn where they end, when it's no more talk about it, or this is going to end badly. You know, you know how far that goes. Jesus is the same way. He has a spectrum, but because of who he is, his spectrum is far exceeding. It's something that we almost can't fathom, but we can identify it because of Scripture and what we've learned and in his relationship with us. So when it comes to Jesus, yes, he came to us in physical form 2,000 years ago, but Jesus has always been around. And this is one of the hard things it's hard for humans to fathom, is that he's a part of God. And he's always been a part of God. He's always existed. He didn't just start existing 2,000 years ago. He's always been around. And if he's a part of God, that means he's Lord. And he's all-powerful, all-knowing. He was involved in the creation of everything. And there's this portion of Scripture that I think identifies it very well. It's in Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah the prophet, he's talking to the people, right? And so in this time, and when people were acknowledging always that there's something bigger out there, there's something that's making this world spin, or if they thought, maybe I thought it was flat, you know, at that time. If there's something that is keeping the water running, the plants growing, there's cycles. How does this exist? There must be a higher intelligence. And so what they do is they want to identify what it is because they want to keep that higher intelligence happy, right? And so, and through their time and process, they begin to try to make identification. And so they'll make certain gods, like God of the plant, God of the air, God of, you know, mythology and all that. And so, and they'll create idols. And Jeremiah, who was wise to that, who had a communication with God because he was a prophet, he needed to identify with them and say, hey, you're missing the mark, right? And so there's this portion of Scripture where he's talking to them and he's telling them, hey, look, it's not about these idols. Let me shed some light on the situation. There's somebody that you're missing. There's something that you're missing. And there's this portion of Scripture in Jeremiah 10:12. Now, this is a long piece of Scripture, and I highly recommend you go read it. It's really good. Hold on, close on me there. It's in Jeremiah 10:12, and this is what he says to him. There's a little snippet of it. And it says, it is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding stretched out the heavens. He's wanting them to recognize the sheer power of God. That everything that you know on this earth, he created. From the smallest insect to the largest mammal, or the mountains, or every molecular portion of water, every grain of sand, he made all of that, okay? And beyond that, he created beyond that. He created life. In his wisdom, he created life. Created you, created me. And then beyond that, he stretched out the heavens. So everything you see beyond, everything you look in the sky, the stars at night, the sun, the moon, everything beyond that, whatever you can fathom is out there, he created that as well. He was helping them recognize the sheer grand power of God. Just how far his spectrum goes in his power. And to us as humans, we can identify the things that we know, but it goes beyond that. So he is all power, all knowing. Then there's another side of Jesus. There's another side of the spectrum. It's the Jesus that we know. The Jesus that came to earth 2,000 years ago, who's documented and talked about and denied and argued with and celebrated and worshipped. That Jesus that has rocked this world. That Jesus who came to this earth meek and delicate, i.e. human. He came human. Able to be damaged. Able to be hurt. The other end of the spectrum, in all humility, came to us, and which is even more humility than we would ever know because of what the spectrum, what he came from as God, all-powerful, all-knowing, came to the earth, lowered himself below humans, let us abuse him and hurt him. So the spectrum is huge. We can't fathom just how what contains Jesus and who he is, and his character. It's an amazing thing. And we find this summed up in a prophecy. Before Jesus was ever born, he was prophesied. And see, in this moment, when we read Scripture, it's easy to imagine Jesus. as human because, hey, it's there. We've got all these paintings. We've got all these things that have identified this is who he is, and we have all this theology on him. See, before that, he was just a Messiah. And you can imagine there was no God in human form before Jesus. So for them to fathom a Messiah to come, they're thinking this one that ascends from heaven and is all-powerful, carries a rod and a staff and has a heavy hand and rules the earth and is all of light, and the animals frolic around him, and he can control mountains. You know, you can go on and on. Any superhero movie you can think of, that's what they thought would be. And so they have no way to fathom this. So in prophecy, this had to be done. So when right before Jesus came, when Mary was impregnated, it was hard for Joseph to imagine a life living with a woman that was supposedly miraculously impregnated. Like, come on, you know, we're human. That doesn't work that way. So something had to happen. So an angel came to him, and this angel summed up the spectrum of Jesus. And this is what it says, Matthew 1:23. In one sentence, the angel does it. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, a human, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. She connected the two in one sentence, saying, you're going to meet someone that's going to be a human, born of a human, but is also God with us. This was mind-melting in that time. Mind-melting. Because they knew God as the one who shaped the earth, created life, the vastness of universe, made all of that, is supposed to come as a human and be small and weak and innocent and meek? How is this possible? So they couldn't fathom. So the angel had to identify what it was and what it was going to look like. It was the Lord that became human. He humanized himself for us. Again, this makes sense to us now, but in this time, it was unfathomable. You could not understand. They were not able to identify. And so the disciples, as they walked this earth with Jesus, it was all for the first time. Can you imagine that? All for the first time getting to see Jesus, this Messiah who's supposed to be fully God but fully man, doing these crazy things on earth. Only thing we could really see was this human that was weak and meek, just like them, who bled, who needed rest, who needed to eat. And so it was confusing to them. But they get to watch this happen. And most of the time, all they get to see was the results of him being God. But the results, and this had happened before. There's prophets, there's guys like Moses that did these miraculous things, but it wasn't them. It was God doing it on their behalf. And so them getting to see these miracles, it was cool, but it wasn't far-fetched from what they could think of because it has happened before. But there's this one moment in Scripture. It's one moment, and it's a very important moment in Scripture. It's really cool. We call it the Transfiguration, right? Okay, we don't often look at this. It's a very loaded portion of Scripture. We're going to draw just one aspect of it, but this is a very loaded portion. It's very important to Jesus and what he did. And so it's in Matthew 17, 1 through 8. And this is what it says. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. This is one of the few moments in Scripture that a human got to physically see the spectrum, the full spectrum of Jesus, of who he was. See, before this, and mostly after this, Jesus only saw him as human. They only saw his human form, which was able to be broken, which was meek and mild. It would bled. But in a moment, they got to see Jesus transform. And when this was happening, the blemishes, the things that humanized him, went away. He began to glow, his face like the sun. Then even more so, he showed how his connection to the universe, to the spiritual realm, that Moses and Elijah appeared before him, and he's conversing with them. He's not just appearing, he's actually talking to them. And this was a foreshadowing, saying that Moses saved people, Elijah was a prophet who saved people, and now Jesus was fulfilling what they couldn't. He was the third in line compared to them. And then more so, a cloud appeared, and the voice of God said, "Hey, pay attention to what I'm saying. I am well pleased with this one. Listen to what he says." So because of the sheer magnitude of the moment, okay, if Jesus was here and his face like the sun, I would have already been scared. He's trying to make tents for him, which is really sweet. You know, hospitable. I think that's awesome. That was like some great hosting right there. He's like, "Hey, you want me to make them a tent? You want to hang out? Are we going to turn this into a festival? Are we going to do this?" You know, which is awesome. Even in that moment, trying to respect Jesus on his human side, saying he needs a tent to sleep in, but also respecting the lordship of who he is. You got to see the whole spectrum, one of the few moments in Scripture. And so there's some aspects to this moment that are very important that we need to pay attention to. See, mostly people, like I said before, they only saw the results of Jesus. But these select few got to see the physical form of Jesus as human and God, as Lord. So there's a couple of things they had to do. It was a chosen few. He pointed out that, hey, I picked these three to come with me. And then they had to follow Jesus up this mountain. If you've ever climbed a mountain, it's not a stroll, all right? A mountain, you have to climb it, and there was no paved roads at this time. There was no carabiners and spikes, you know. It had to physically get up this mountain, which I'm sure was dangerous at times. They had to follow him through the hard stuff to get there. And then they had to elevate. They had to go up to be with him. They had to elevate themselves. The first, they had to be friends with Jesus. Then, they had to follow him through the rough terrain. And third, they had to be elevated. And at that moment, because of that, they got to see Jesus' true power, his true magnitude, the real spectrum of who he was. And it was so overwhelming that they fell to their faces and trembled in fear because it all came together as at once. This is what it looks like when Jesus is Lord. When Jesus is Lord, that is what the spectrum is. We get to know him as a human and identify with him, but then we also in fear just because of the sheer power of who he is, the magnitude of who he is. So how do you, for you specifically, us individually, it's hard to understand the lordship of Jesus. And I get that. And we're not really meant to totally understand it, but the Scripture gives us ways to kind of get around about it, of that there's a Trinity, but they're all one, and he's in the heavens, and there's this other realm. And, you know, they give us some relating factors, but we could never, until we die, we could never understand the true picture, the big picture. We just get snippets of it. So for us here on earth, understanding that Jesus is Lord is very important to our walk with him. Because humans have a one-track mind, okay? You have a one-track mind. There's times in your life when you're going through something hard, and we know when something's difficult going at work, that's all you can think about. And it's to the point where your spouse is like, I'm sick of talking about it. You know, just quit, you know, or whatever you got to do. Change jobs. We get these one-track minds, and we do this with Jesus. And it turns into, I just need Jesus to identify with me. And so we identify to the human side of him. We identify that there's a struggle, that there's suffering. Sometimes you have to sacrifice. And that's the easy one to understand. But if that's the only part of Jesus that we know and we identify with, we're only knowing half of Jesus. We're only having half a relationship with him. And if you have a relationship with anybody in your life, how well can it go if you only know half of them? So if I only knew Hannah's hobbies and I knew none of any other stuff, our relationship wouldn't go very far. If I only knew what my son had to eat and not what he enjoyed, then it wouldn't be a lot of fun. You get what I'm saying? To have a true relationship, you got to know them fully. You got to know that person next to you fully. So when you get married, when you tie the knot with somebody, it's a big commitment because you're saying that all of me is for all of them and vice versa. That we are one now. It's the same with our relationship with Jesus. We can't take one without the other. And if we do that, it feels good to only identify with that part of Jesus. Because it's easy. Because it's woe is to me, you know, I'm suffering. But there's a point where it says, hey, but I serve a God. I serve a Lord. It's time to get off my butt and stop suffering and do something about it and start winning. Because you have the ability when your relationship with him. We can't only know the half of him. So there's three things that I want you to identify about Jesus in your relationship with him, and you're identifying him as Lord. The first one is that we must remember the power of Jesus in our lives. He is the one who created the universe. There's nothing that Jesus can't do while he was here on earth and beyond. There's nothing that he can do. So whatever your problem is, whatever your big thing is, whether it's financial, relational, whatever's going on in your life, he's more powerful than that. And if you only identify with the human side of Jesus, and you don't identify with the Lord's side, he can't do anything about it because you are limiting him. You have to let him be the power over whatever your situation is. Whatever that struggle is, he is more powerful and you have to let him. The second thing I want you to know is we must remember he's an accessible Lord. He didn't come to earth suffer just for the bragging rights about it. He didn't need to do that. He came and did what he did to make him accessible for us. So that means when you're down and out and you're going through whatever the issue is, or you think that you've got it all together, Jesus is the most accessible thing in your life. You can connect with him at any moment because he humanized himself, went through the worst of it. So there's nothing in your life that he hasn't felt the suffering that you're feeling right now. He hasn't dealt with the loss like you're dealing with right now. There's nothing that he can't fathom or do. So he's humanized himself, and he's very powerful. The most powerful being in the world has made himself accessible to you, no matter stage of life you're in. The third thing is Jesus chooses who he reveals his power to. Jesus is kind, but he's selective. He loves all, but he's selective. But here's the situation, is that when we think selective, we're thinking that just he chooses. It's actually the other way around. We can choose to be his selection. We can choose to go up on that mountain with him. We can choose to have friendship with him and have access to him. We can choose to be lifted high, to elevate ourselves. And when we choose those things, we get to see his power, his lordship come alive in our life. That is an amazing thing. That us as humans, get to access a Lord, a King of a universe. That is an amazing thing. That is such power, such opportunity, but it's hard. It takes time. So I ask you today, how do you recognize Jesus? How do you recognize? Think about the moments in your life, the struggles that you're going through right now. Just think about them, the relationships, whatever they might be. In those moments, how are you recognizing him? Lord, I'm struggling so much. Lord, do you understand? Or is it, Lord, I'm struggling so much. Can you grant me some power here? Can you overwhelm this moment? Lord, I know this is a problem, but it's not too big for you, so I'm just going to hand this problem over to you, Jesus. Help me through this. Help me get past it. Let your lordship over my life conquer these things. When we do that, when we recognize that, things begin to unlock. Things begin to change. Remember, the fully Lord of this universe came to this earth and humanized himself for you. Not for himself, for you. This is your access if you choose it. But you have to make the choice. Because right now you're at the bottom of the mountain. You have to identify who he is on the human side. And then you have to follow him up the mountain through the terrain, through the pride, through the hardships, putting yourself aside, losing your selfishness, so that one day you can be at the top of the mountain. And the moments in your life, Jesus will have the opportunity to unleash his power and to show you his majesty, his lordship. You get to see your life transform. See your relationship with Jesus transform. Your relationships transform because of his power, who he is. That is what knowing the full spectrum of Jesus is. And we have to remember that. So every morning that you get up, you got to recognize, Jesus, thank you for being accessible, but thank you for also being Lord. Thank you that I don't have to have all the answers, and I don't have to conquer everything, because I serve you, Lord. I'm in your kingdom. You get to choose how this goes. And so much pressure comes off of you. And when you access Jesus that way, the full spectrum of him, he comes alive in your life. And so that's for us personally. That's for you. So what about us as a group? What does this look like to others? One of the terrible things that Christians do, churchgoers do, is that their relationship with Jesus is only inward. They're like, it's a constant battle. And that's great. That happens. But if that's the only thing that you do, other people don't get to see it, okay? Think of any movie, any historical reference to a kingship, a monarchy in a time, and think about the townspeople. Anybody that did not outwardly recognize a king or a queen, could they hang around? Could they hang around the kingdom? No, if they didn't acknowledge this person as the all-seeing power over this kingdom, they weren't allowed to hang around. They were like, you are a traitor, get out. Or they were killed, or whatever it may be. Why do we do this to Jesus? Why don't we recognize his lordship to others? We are in his kingdom. And when we go around and we say, hey, Jesus is mine, you know, this is just for me, the kingdom is only right here, that is limiting him. You need to show it. You need to say, hey, I serve a king. I serve a Lord. And that communicates to people that there is a kingdom here and you can be a part of that. But people aren't going to do it, and they're not going to respect it until you do. They're not going to respect Jesus as Lord until you do. If you are ahead of your family, if you're the parents, your children are not going to respect Jesus as Lord until you do. They're not going to recognize a kingship unless there's an example of it. So we have to show an example. So us as a group, my challenge to you guys is to show it. Show it in your at work. Show it in your homes. Just say the words, and you will not believe the power that it has, the influence that it has on others as they begin to recognize Jesus as well. And so on the inside, acknowledge him truly as Jesus is Lord, and we outwardly do it, we get to eventually see the true power of God. And I want that for your lives, guys. I want you to have that. I've witnessed it in my life. And I've had to travel some treacherous mountains to get to that point, to the point where I'm like, it's over the edge now, God. If I keep walking, I'm just going to fall down this mountain. But because I climbed it and I elevated myself, acknowledged who he is and his lordship, he revealed his power to me, and miraculous things have happened. And those are stories that I would love to share with you. I didn't elevate, I didn't fly or anything like that, so I don't think that. Big things, financial things, huge stuff. And I want that for you. So I'm telling you today, know Jesus, the Lord, and not just Jesus, the human. I'm going to pray, and we're going to be dismissed. Thank you guys so much. If you've missed any part of this series, they're all online. Please go and check that out, because knowing Jesus in every aspect of who he is really changes our lives, because we get to access him in ways that we could never imagine. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for all that you do in our life. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that even though you are Lord, Creator, over all, most powerful, you still came to this earth as a human. You covered the spread for us. You knocked out all of the excuses, and you made a way for us to experience true power in our lives, a power beyond our understanding. So, Lord, as there's some here, Lord, I pray that you would reveal your human side too. Lord, if they don't know you yet, if they don't know the Jesus, the human yet, I pray that they would have opportunities and they would learn more and they would see that through us. And Lord, those people that are on the mountain right now that are climbing, they feel like there's no end in sight. They're just following and it just hurts. Give them some peace and comfort today, God, that so they'll keep climbing that mountain. Give them the courage, the energy that's needed to make it to the top. Lord, those that are near the top or at the top, I pray that we don't miss the opportunity to see your power, to see your glory, to see your lordship in our lives, that we will stay focused and not worry about how high we are. But I want to see some magical, amazing things, some breakthrough opportunities in these people's lives, Lord, and I pray that they will receive them. They will have those moments of your lordship over them. Lord, we love you. We give you all the praise and all the honor. Bless us as we go. Amen.